the look into your eyes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to North Idaho Now. This is episode 158. Is that right, Molly? 158?
Yes.
Yeah, sounds
yes,
right.
It is.
Chance
sounds
Watson.
Right.
Yeah, sounds good. We're going to roll with it. Chance Watson and Molly Roberts bring you the news today.
Hey, hello.
This episode is brought to you by America's Gold and Silver. And Google has signed me out.
Delightful. America's gold and silver owned Galena Mine in Wallace, Idaho is currently accepting applications for the position of maintenance supervisor. The maintenance supervisor is responsible for overseeing all aspects of maintenance needs. The ideal candidate for the position would have an associate's degree in a maintenance-related field, 5+ years of experience, and 2+ years in a supervisory role. This role is an excellent opportunity to work on a variety of projects, take charge of your career, and make a difference on a small team in a dynamic work environment. America's Gold and Silver offers competitive wages, a full employee benefit package, which includes medical, dental, vision, life, and disability insurance, PTO, 401k, and pension plan. To apply for this and any other positions at the Galena Mine, visit www.americas-gold.com/careers.
Nice save, Molly. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You. That was actually Chance doing a Molly impression.
That was I'm getting really good at
you
it.
You are getting really good at your Molly impression.
So it's good.
Spot on.
Yeah, I'm just knocking that out. I started with your patented, oh.
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 Oh, oh my.
Right. Oh, oh my. And then I just went from there.
And you just went from there.
Just went from there.
Well, you did great.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
I thought there were doomies.
Right, right. Molly, the fair is quickly approaching.
My goodness, it is quickly
North
approaching.
North Idaho State Fair. I'm excited to go. I'm definitely going to be popping in in multiple capacities.
Right.
Going to be a good time. We have one last teaser pack giveaway for the fair. And going through our supercomputer, we have come up.
Oh, supercomputer,
is that
you.
How that sounds?
It is.
Oh, okay. That wasn't even you. That was the supercomputer.
That's not me.
That was the supercomputer.
The supercomputer was interjecting. Stop. Gosh. You're done with your job.
Oh, boy. It's just a workhorse, you know?
It really is. But yeah, we put it in the supercomputer.
It got to break from finding crime.
Yeah, thank goodness. So, it starts to get a little down on itself, a little mm-hmm, low, so mm-hmm. It's nice to get a little break.
Yes,
fun little break.
So, today's winner, Marcina Lawn.
Woohoo!
Congratulations. You're
Good
getting
job,
two tickets
Marcina.
To the fair. You're getting a parking pass. And you're getting a very cool sweatshirt.
A sweatshirt.
That has
I do like
has a very punny front.
Mm-hmm. It does have a very punny very punny front.
Uh-huh. Yes. Great design on that.
It really is.
Yeah.
I did like it. I came into the office and I was like, ooh, I like the color of the sweatshirt. And then
you
I
read
saw
the front.
It and I was like, well, that's great.
Barn in the USA.
Barn in the USA.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's how you get John Cougar Mellencamp to be playing all day. I mean, there are worse things, you know.
There are worse things.
Yep. Like if I was like being tortured by music or something like that, like John Cougar Mellencamp wouldn't be the worst.
No.
I can think of a lot worse anyway. like the bird is the word.
Uh-oh. Yeah. That over and over.
Oh, if I was
over
captured
and over and over
if I was
over.
Captured and they needed to know the nuclear secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Just play the bird is the word for a good hour and I'm like, yeah, I'll tell you anything.
Well, I guess I'm giving them up.
Okay, anyway. Here we go. For the next hour, you're going to hear Bird is the Word
Turns out, we're actually going to torture you guys. Yeah.
Not even the original version. You're going to hear us struggle through it. Okay. All right.
Well, we're fine here, ladies
we're
and
doing
gentlemen.
Great.
Listeners, we're great. We're great. We're great.
It's doing so good.
So we talked about Day Shift, the film.
Yes.
Movie,
yes,
the
Molly,
movie,
you turned this on. You turned this film on.
I turned this film on.
Wait,
baby.
Shouldn't we talk about where we talked about this film first? Because we went up to Bruce Fest.
We did go up.
We're going to talk a little bit about that in the show today.
Yes.
But you and I went up to Silver Mountains Brews Fest.
We went up to Brews Fest, had a wonderful time.
In the words of the reel that we were tagged in, I had a beer. I had another beer.
Yes.
Three beers. Whatever that's from. I have no idea what it was.
I don't know what it's from. Yeah, that was good. But it's
shout out to Gus on that.
Yes, Gus Colburn at Silver Mountain. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. Yes, and we talked about Day Shift.
Yes.
I really liked it. I mean, yeah, it was fun to watch. It is fun just to kind of have an action movie that's not really...
Deep meaning.
You're just...
Are we getting the Expendables vibes here?
I wouldn't really go... I mean, in the trailer, and I thought this was pretty accurate, they said it was like John Wick meets Evil Dead.
Okay.
But like with vampires. Okay. And I definitely, I was like, yeah, that's a pretty...
When you say thoughtless action film, like the Expendables is literally that.
Right.
Like,
and that's
no deeper
that's
meaning.
True.
It's supposed to be just...
So, yeah, it's
80s
not
action
quite,
kind of
I feel like it does have...
A little bit of a story there.
It definitely has more of a story, I'd say, than the Expendables, which is just man punch man.
Sure.
That there is a story, and it's a nice little heartwarming story. It's cute. It's, yeah.
Okay.
I liked it.
That's good to hear.
Two thumbs up.
Good.
I almost just did one here in the studio, but don't worry, I got there.
No, that's perfect. That's good. I still have yet to see it, but I'm kind of excited.
Mm-hmm.
I've been catching up on episodes of The Orville. Final season.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of. It's got a new. They kind of not. I wouldn't say revamped it, but like it's the first couple seasons were supposed to be like a comedy knockoff of Star Trek, and now it's kind of taking a more serious. You know,
okay.
They're trying to be Star Trek essentially,
right?
So I've been
gotcha.
For either, it was funny the first two seasons, and now that it's taken a more serious tone, it's still good. So,
nice.
not gonna complain about that. Last funny thing that we kind of wanted to talk about the game that we've been waiting for, honestly.
All of us,
you and I are gamers. Huge
That's
gamers.
That's true. I really truly am a gamer.
Yeah, and Squirrel with a Gun was released.
With a gun, just as it sounds.
I personally, because I've, as every long term listener would know, I've been advocating this since episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Armed rodent games are just something that I needed in my life.
And here you are.
And here we are. We have Squirrel with a Gun.
Squirrel with a Gun.
That is the title of the game.
Do you go around and get other squirrels, or do you get people?
That's unclear.
Do you like how I said get?
Get them. Yeah. Well,
you're just getting them.
I'm assuming it's the same premise as the Untitled Goose Game.
Right,
where you're just causing
humans.
Mayhem.
Right. I was assuming it was squirrel on human violence.
Probably. I mean, if there's any animal that deserves revenge on humans...
It's a squirrel.
Squirrels. I mean, you know, granted we do house them and feed them.
The squirrel will do typical squirrel things, you know, like holding up a... human at gunpoint and
yes.
stealing their iPhone. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds fun. Like I can't wait for this to come out.
Oh my
god. We're not sponsored by the studio that made it, but
not yet.
But if you're looking for some mindless violence, rodent related violence.
Squirrel with a gun.
It doesn't have
a release date, but you can wish list it on Steam.
Well, you know, I'm pre-ordering this. So.
Wow.
Okay.
We'll have a live stream of us playing Squirrel with a Gun.
Hey, now that's an idea. Clint, we've got something to pitch to you.
We need a North Idaho Now Twitch stream.
Twitch stream. All right. I could get behind this. I think if we pitched it, I think if we framed this right.
We need to add something onto our list of things to do.
We don't
Twitch
have enough projects,
stream.
Honestly. We can do it.
What even is a project? I don't know. I have so much free time.
So much of it. It's just innumerable. Okay, before we get into the headlines, let's just, I want to remind everybody that our big ticket giveaway, tickets to the All-American Rejects, that's fair passes, and that's parking passes, coming up this Friday. You need to listen to the show to know if you won,
mm-hmm.
So tune in to the August 19th episode of North Idaho Now. Download it, listen to it wherever you are, and we will announce the winners on that. Mm-hmm. This was the last teaser pack giveaway that we have for the fair. And then not to mention, on today's show, mm-hmm. we have a very special musical guest.
Special musical guest. Yeah, that was... We were listening to him before we began. It was really... We really enjoyed it.
Oh, it was very good. Very good. Nice. You guys caught that in the intro music of this episode. If you guys tuned in, you're like, why, instead of like, you know, upbeat, I feel like I'm sitting around a bonfire, and now I feel like I'm in a calm coffee shop. Mm-hmm. That is the difference. You were listening to the musical works of Ben Vogel. Mm-hmm. So we will have him here in an interview in just a little while. So, but without further ado, we're going to get into some news first. The North Idaho State Fair is set to celebrate its 100th anniversary this year from August 19th to the 28th and wants you to join in on the fun. From monster trucks and extreme bull riding to carnival rides and live concerts, there's something for everyone at the fair. For tickets and more information to all the fun things, go to North Idaho State Fair, that's N-I-S, fair.fun. Takes in two, Coeur d'Alene Post Falls Press headlines for Saturday, August 13th. Headline... Wakes and Water Quality. This by Kay Thornbrew. Kootenai County commissioners are, quote, cautiously optimistic about their ability to fund an analysis of lake water samples for trace and toxic metals, but how much the county can commit to the project remains to be seen. The University of Idaho is working with the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality to study the impacts of wakes on water quality in the near shore zone in Lake Coeur d'Alene. Though IDEQ will fund the two-year $145,000 study, there is no available funding to perform additional analysis on water samples for trace and toxic metals such as lead, arsenic, zinc, and other metals associated with past mining waste from the Bunker Hill and Silver Valley mining districts, allegedly. Just kidding. It's not allegedly. It's definitely 100%. Definitely came from there. Allegedly, Molly.
Not from our mining districts.
No. I don't know where that lead came from.
I don't know. That's weird. Not us.
Then you move into, well, it's fine. Like, it might have came from here, but lead's fine. So
I've been around it all my life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. At a special meeting Friday, I finger paint with it. I put it on my fingertips. Uh-huh, and to get it wet, though, I have to lick my fingers.
Oh, so I'll do that. Oh, boy. Okay. Chance needs to go to Panhandle Health District immediately and get tested.
I need a blood lead level screening. Uh-huh. Which are being offered at Panhandle Health District. Molly, did you get that press release? At a special meeting Friday, commissioners heard a request from the Kootenai County Natural Resources Advisory Board to provide between $52,500 and $63,000 for the project. Jamie Sturgis, chairman of the advisory board, said the funds would enable the University of Idaho to fully utilize the fieldwork that is already underway. Quote, this funding will allow for analytical data that will be invaluable to Kootenai County resources, especially Coeur d'Alene Lakeshore homeowners, recreational users, and downstream interests, Sturgis said in a letter to the commissioners. All three commissioners expressed support for the study. Quote, we will make a contribution, said Commissioner Chris Filios. It will be a question of how much. Commissioners can't add the funds to the budget for fiscal year 2023, which will be published next week, but by mid-September, the board expects to have a better idea of what funds are available. Another request for partial funding floated by the Natural Resource Advisory Board was for the county to accept contributing funds from lakeshore homeowners and other groups to either replace or supplement county funds. Quote, having buy-in from lakeshore property owners is important, Commissioner Leslie Duncan said. You know, we've talked a lot about studies on the lake. I don't think at this point anybody thinks that, you know, there isn't some sort of contamination with that. But I will be curious to know how much, you know, speeding boats. I know that, you know, especially up further when we've got really fast moving boats.
Right, yeah.
We know that that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the no wake zone in the area, I'm curious. That'll be interesting to see how much is pushed up onto the shores and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, all right, moving on.
All right, we are back, my friends, to the Coeur d'Alene Council to decide on prayer policy. I thought we were maybe...
Done with this,
but apparently we are still going on.
Guess who's back?
Back again. Not Eminem, unfortunately.
Nope.
This is by Bill Bewley. The Coeur d'Alene City Council on Tuesday is scheduled to consider changing its policy regarding who says the opening prayer before its meetings. A proposed amendment would allow any nonprofit faith-based organization within Kootenai County to provide the invocation. It would also involve a lottery system to sign up for invocations. The issue has been the subject of debate since earlier this year when the city changed its long-running practice of having the Kootenai County Ministerial Association, a Christian organization, schedule invocation leaders, and it opened it up to other faiths. Council members Dan Gookin and Christy Wood recently met with members of the faith community to get their input. Quote, "The faith community requested clarification that invocations may only be provided by an organization that is nonprofit, and that individuals include the listing of the name and number of their organization's nonprofit registration," according to a city staff report. Quote, "Additionally, a request was made to clarify that those included in the lottery must be affiliated with a faith-based organization or a church. The city is doing away with the practice of open registration for invocations and going to the lottery format." Quote, "The reason for this recommendation is that the current list was established on a first-come, first-serve basis, and individuals have already signed up for the remaining 8 meetings this year," the report said. "Not long after the city opened invocations to all faiths, Christian church leaders filled all the slots before council meetings for the rest of the year." The city will advertise the opportunity to register for the lottery on its website, quote, "ensuring that adequate notice is provided to all and to establish a 30-day open registration period." The proposed first date for invocations under the lottery system is January 3rd. The first meeting is 2023. The reason for this change in prayer policy, a practice that dates back to at least 1970, came about when several council members asked about opening the invocation to churches and pastors who are not with the Ministerial Association. Coeur d'Alene Mayor Jim Hammond agreed to try it. Quote, "We're giving them the opportunity to go ahead," he previously told the press. "The basic guidelines proposed for invocations remain the same. Prayer can be specific to a religion, should not seek to convert or seek affirmation, should not disparage other faiths, should not threaten those with different beliefs with hell, damnation, or other punishment.
No fire and brimstone.
No fire and brimstone. No,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Should not be politically biased.
Understandable.
Will not be edited or approved by the city.
Okay.
And should be solemn and respectful in tone. The city council meeting is scheduled at 6 p.m. in the Coeur d'Alene Public Library community room."
Okay.
I'm okay with this.
Sounds fine. I know that there's some people that are not happy about this.
Yes, but we both know who's not
fair.
Yeah. I feel like this sounds very fair. It
sounds fair. I wrote one of the stories in this long saga.
Right? Yes. And it sounds, you were at one of the meetings, correct?
Yeah, I went to one of the meetings and saw and got to sit in on this. That was kind of more of the heated stuff. Yeah. That was more of they were talking about doing this. And now it sounds like they're
right.
They
were kind of floating the idea, but just people weren't very. Certain people weren't very happy about the idea of the lottery system. But it's fair, and I feel like all of the guidelines, it makes sense. Like, yeah.
Well, and so my only question is, how does the lottery system work? Do they have our supercomputer? Is it kind of like a lottery, like how the state lottery is? Like you've got like ping pong balls.
Well, the city will advertise an opportunity to register for lottery on its website. So yeah, I'm not sure how. Maybe they'll borrow
just
our super
ping pong
computer.
Balls with writing on them. So I don't.
Church of Satan, it's you!
Oh, it just pops to the top.
No,
oh, boy.
No. I mean, if they do, well, then, okay. But.
Would they put it on public access like the lottery? You know, like at like 9:15 at night, you just pops on and it's... Does that... I just have questions, okay?
Chance has some questions.
Because
so...
I feel like people might gamble on that, and that might be the opposite of what everybody's going for.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, okay? Initial success or total failure. Mad Bomber Brewing Company, located at 9265 North Government Way in Hayden, Idaho, is a veteran-owned and operated business that has been serving North Idaho since 2013. Swing by the brewery for a cold, booby-trapped blonde, the perfect light beer to beat the summer heat, and the heat at the fair coming up here soon. Mad Bomber Brewing also offers a wine selection of ciders from North Idaho Cider for those who may not want beer. Located near Triple Play, come by and mention the podcast when you order to receive $1 off your first beer. Mad Bomber Brewing, recklessly brewed in Hayden, Idaho. Moving into Monday.
Monday.
No, just kidding.
Monday.
They will have monster truck rallies at the fair. So, man, the fair is just getting plugged so much in this episode.
It really is.
All right. Monday, August 15th headlines. Roots in real estate. This by Bill Bealey. Problems are not something most people welcome. But Jared McFarland, quote, "I love the problem solving," said the real estate agent with Century 21, Butler and Associates. Quote, "That's a big part of it. Every transaction has its own unique problems." McFarland has been solving problems for his clients since he started his real estate career in 2006. Since then, he's handled around 400 to 500 transactions, and many came with their own set of challenges. It could be finding out an older septic system is no longer allowed on a property. It could be getting emotional buyers and sellers on the same page. It could be making sure a buyer has the loan program that's best for them. The goal is to work towards solutions for all involved, which McFarland has been doing for more than 15 years. It's one of the reasons why the 39-year-old was named the Realtor of the Year by the Coeur d'Alene Regional Realtors. Quote, there's always lots of awards in real estate that you win throughout the years, he said, but the Realtor of the Year has always been special. It's nice to be recognized by your peers. That's probably the biggest thing for me. McFarland's family roots in the area date back to 1894. He was born and raised in Coeur d'Alene and graduated from Lake City High School in 2001. He earned a degree in marketing from the University of Idaho, go Vandals, but was not entirely sure about his next steps. Real estate, though, was always on his mind. He grew up around it. His uncle and aunt are John and Ann Butler of 21st Century Butler and Associates. Another uncle is longtime real estate agent Tom Torgensen, who also was Century 21 Butler and Associates. At family gatherings, real estate was often a topic of discussion, and McFarland recalled that one Thanksgiving dinner when he was talking about career options and asked, "Why don't you come work for us?" "Will you hire me?" he said. McFarland asked. Yes, was the answer. And so it began. Quote, "I did well and had some good success out of the gates and just loved it," he said. McFarland says, well, the housing markets have cooled considerably with higher mortgage interest rates, inflation, and recession fears. It's still good. Quote, "In the last week, we've actually seen it pick up a little bit more," he said. "Some of that fear has dissipated a little bit, and people are getting back into buying real estate." Following an abnormal market this past few years, he said things are going more toward normal. McFarland also volunteers in nonprofits like the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life, St. Vincent de Paul, and food banks, and is involved with community fundraisers. Quote, "I've always volunteered a lot. That's been a big part of what I do," he said. McFarland and his wife Amy love to travel, but feel best when they return to Coeur d'Alene. Quote, "Every time we get home, I'm always thankful where we live," he said. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Nice work.
All right. We've got igloos and a heart for helping. This is by Devin Weeks. Snow igloos, board games, and the great outdoors are hobbies that Jason Nye enjoys. His true passion, however, is for people and leaving the world a better place than he found it. Quote, what we were really looking for was heart, and we feel Jason fills that really well, CDAIDE board president Bev Moss said Wednesday. Quote, we just feel like he loves the community and understands what we're about. We don't have to teach him about what we do. He understood that right from the beginning. He understands our mission. Nye is the new executive director of CDAIDE, CDAID, the Coeur d'Alene nonprofit that provides resources and assistance for food service and hospitality workers who find themselves in need of support. A majority of hospitality workers, 79%, do not receive sick time or health benefits through their employer. Yes, very true. Uh-huh. According to a 2012 study from Olivia's Food Chain Workers Alliance and the Restaurant Opportunity Centers United, quote, "When I heard about CDAID and how they offer support to those people in those situations, it was something I'd never heard of before." Nye took the reins July 1st. He succeeded Rebecca Smith, the founding board president, who took over as executive director when a leader was needed after the COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated hiring difficulties, and she stepped down earlier this year. Nye, 41, waited in bus tables and washed dishes in high school and college. He made all of $1.50 an hour as a server in Utah, where he studied business administration and management at Brigham Young University. Quote, I know how difficult it is to make ends meet in these jobs. With this experience, he was naturally drawn to a role where he could help others who are where he had once been. Nye moved to Coeur d'Alene in June 2020. He was born and raised in Seattle, where his, pardon, where his distant relative Bill Nye the Science Guy Bill Nye the Science Guy, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Jason Nye attended the University of Washington in Seattle, where he maintained a 3.96 grade point average, K-brag, and graduated magna cum laude with a Bachelor of Arts in Communication and Media Studies.
Mr. Professional.
All right, Jason Nye, yeah. In 2018, Nye and his wife of 19 years, Cindy, came through Coeur d'Alene on a family road trip with their son and three daughters. Nye spent 16 years in the Boy Scouts of America, where he gained experience in leadership and communications. Ah, here we go. Mm-hmm. Right, igloos. This is also when he first became a snow igloo aficionado. What can't this man do?
Right.
My goodness.
Sky's the limit, really.
Sky's the limit. Quote, I'm into igloo camping, he said with a laugh, adding that he was well known for his igloo building knowledge in his last community. Nye said he is looking forward to learning as much as he can about nonprofit work and understanding a side of the business world to which he is new. CD Aid received 151 referrals for assistance last year and provided financial assistance to 82 families. Nye said the nonprofit is on track to help even more people this year because of the increase in housing and rent costs. CD Aid will be a beneficiary of the Coeur d'Alene Eagles charity poker run, a full day of fun, planned for August 27th. This year's Chef Challenge is planned for October. Visit cdaid.org to learn more.
So, that's cool.
Wow, that is cool.
I feel like Devin buried the lead here a little bit with, like, Bill Nye's relative. Like, come on.
Bill.
Bill Nye the Science Guy. Maybe he wants to come on. We would love to have you on the show. Both Nyes.
Okay.
Both of the Nyes. Obviously, both the Nyes. No, I mean, like, obviously, we're talking about this fella right here. But
Jason,
I mean,
Nye.
Yeah, Jason wants to come on the show. That's great.
Jason, bring your cousin Bill.
But if Bill wants to come on, too.
His cousin, but distant relative.
Distant relative. Okay. So, yeah, probably, they probably don't talk much.
Yeah.
Or it's like an adversarial thing. Like, they're always trying to one up each other.
Well, I can build igloos.
Oh, boy. Okay. Moving on, Tuesday, August 16th headlines, The Heart of the Matter. This by Bill Buehle. A $40 million expansion project that includes the Kootenai Health Heart Center, operating rooms, and Kootenai outpatient surgery is moving ahead at Kootenai Health. It will add 37,000 square feet to the Heart Center, 9 new patient rooms, a new cardiac catheterization lab, and a new electrophysiology lab for heart rhythm disorders. Mm-hmm. Dr. Eric Wallace, Interventional Cardiology Medical Director, said it's time for the cardiovascular division to enhance its facilities, which are about 15 years old. The expansion will allow them to see more patients and provide more same-day procedures. Construction began in September of 2021. It will be completed in phases. The Heart Center is scheduled to be completed in the fall of 2023. The expansion is being funded through capital reserves, debt, and donations to the Kootenai Health Foundation, according to a statement from the hospital. The Heart Center expansion will occur on the second floor of Kootenai Health's main facility. The new diagnostic imaging equipment will provide high-definition, real-time views of patients' hearts and vascular systems. The need for Heart Center expansion is great and growing. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. About 1 in 4 deaths is due to a form of this disease, according to Kootenai Health. The expansion will allow the Heart Center to not only improve service and provide more space and equipment, but also recruit more physicians. Currently, Kootenai Health has three cardiothoracic thoracic. Thank you. Surgeons, mm-hmm. and six interventional cardiologists, six general cardiologists, and two electrophysiologists. Mm. Recruiting efforts are underway for two more electrophysiologists, four cardiologists, and one interventional cardiologist by end of 2022.
I don't know if this is true, but sometimes it feels like people in the medical field just want to make things sound a little more smarter than they should, okay?
Perhaps. With completion of the heart center expansion, Kootenai Health will have the capacity to hire five new interventional cardiologists, four electrophysiologists, three vascular surgeons, and eight non-interventional cardiologists. Non-interventional.
Non-interventional.
They won't intervene. They'll just...
No, they'll just hang out.
Hey, that's bad. You should get that done.
I'm the non-interventional cardiologist. Stop.
This is my own personal opinion. I think I'd rather have an interventional cardiologist than a non-interventional. If I was having a heart episode, I would hope someone would intervene. That's just my two cents.
Sorry, I'm non-interventional.
It's not my job. Quote, we're so excited for the project, Wallace said. We appreciate the community support. Dr. Robert Burnett, cardiothoracic surgery medical director, said they have performed more than 4,500 open heart operations since the inception of the cardiac heart program in 2003. They have performed those operations with a mortality rate of less than 1%, which is about half of what is expected of the national database, he said. He said they go to great lengths to provide full cardiothoracic surgery care so people don't have to leave except in rare cases. Quote, this heart center expansion is very important to the whole service line, Burnett said. Kootenai Health's expansion also includes outpatient surgery with 9 recovery bays, the main operation room, with 2 new operating rooms, and improved electronic health records. I mean, I am sold. If I have some heart problems, I'm going to Kootenai Health.
Going to Kootenai Health.
Hope get one of those guys that'll intervene.
To get an interventional cardiologist. Oh my gosh. Someone in the medical field is going to listen to this.
Somebody in the non-interventional field is going to be like, dude, I can still help you.
Dang it, you guys.
Right, like.
Yeah, we obviously don't know what we're talking about.
No, we're very open about that. Yeah.
I mean, we are medical experts.
Absolutely.
All right. Man gets life in prison for crime spree.
Medical gal Molly Roberts.
Medical gal Molly Roberts. Non-interventional cardiologist. I'm not going to intervene.
I'm
going to
be a non-interventional journalist, actually.
I'm not intervening in this situation. Oh, boy.
Okay.
All right. This one kind of came through our area, correct?
Yes.
This story could be for people
in Western Washington, Eastern Washington, mm-hmm. North Idaho, and even Eastern Montana.
Yeah.
Or Western Montana, rather.
My goodness.
Yeah.
This is by Kay Thornbrew. A man who led police on a week-long multi-state manhunt and later tried to escape from jail received a life sentence. Sorry, I feel like I have to sneeze. Okay, I think I'm okay.
Are you all right? Are you going to make it through?
I'm going to make it through.
Okay, all right.
Jesse Arson Pitzer, 30, of Sultan, Washington, pleaded guilty in July to 16 charges, most of them felonies, including 4 counts of aggravated assault, 6 counts of grand theft, and 1 count of robbery. First District Judge Lamont Perez handed down a sentence on Friday of life in prison with 20 years fixed. That means Spitzer will be eligible for parole when he's 50 years old. The sentence is a result of a Rule 11 plea deal brokered by the prosecution and defense. A Rule 11 plea agreement is a deal wherein the defendant pleads guilty to a certain charge in exchange for a certain sentence. A judge can accept or reject a Rule 11 agreement, but cannot alter the terms. In exchange for Spitzer's guilty plea, the state dismissed 18 charges, including 3 counts of unlawful possession of a firearm, as well as a habitual offender enhancement. Spitzer was arrested in January for a string of burglaries and vehicle thefts in Washington and North Idaho. The crime spree began after he was suspected of stealing a vehicle in East Snohomish County on January 21st. Police and canines chased Spitzer into the woods near Gold Bar, Washington, the following day, but he escaped. He reappeared after a car crash in Chelan County, evading authorities again. After stealing a firearm from a vehicle in Post Falls, Spitzer led police on a foot chase and disappeared. Officers from multiple agencies caught up with him in Kellogg the next night. Mm-hmm. He fled along eastbound I-90 in another stolen vehicle, reportedly shooting at police during the high-speed chase. Spitzer continued into Wallace, where he carjacked a couple at gunpoint. Law enforcement chased Spitzer over Lookout Pass and into Montana. Near the town of Haugen, he reportedly threatened officers with a handgun and bolted. Police arrested Spitzer after finding him hiding in a camper near the $50,000 Silver Dollar Bar and Motel.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Spitzer's first brush with the law. In 2011, a 19-year-old Spitzer pleaded guilty to attempted murder after shooting at a sheriff's sergeant while trying to avoid arrest in Nevada. He was sentenced to up to 22 years in prison. After his arrest in Montana, Spitzer was booked into the Kootenai County Jail and held on $1 million bail. In April, he reportedly pried a leg off the metal desk in his cell and used it to smash the lock on the... Right, this guy, too. Like, I forgot this was the same guy.
Yeah, this is all the same guy.
Oh, my gosh. Because this was a guy... He looked like Obi-Wan, right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's trying to break out of jail.
Oh, my gosh. Upon noticing him outside his cell, staff locked down the jail and instituted inmate escape protocols. Spitzer reportedly surrendered after law enforcement deployed sting ball grenades, rubber bullets, and tear gas.
This guy is just a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
I have watched somebody get hit by those sting ball grenades.
I can't imagine.
Yuck.
Judge Perez ruled that later that month that Spitzer was unfit to stand trial due to mental illness. The court committed Spitzer to care and treatment at an Idaho Department of Correction facility. His competency was deemed restored in July. Before handing down the sentence, Perez said Spitzer's crimes will have a lasting impact on his victims. Quote, "It goes beyond money or loss of property," he said. "There is a violation of self." Wallace resident Lee Lutich Legenza, whose car Spitzer stole at gunpoint, was present for the sentencing. Quote, "I know he should be incarcerated, but it was very sad," she said Monday. "He seemed genuinely remorseful and apologized several times throughout, even after the judgment. I remember thinking that I wish they had shot him that night, but it's not that simple anymore." Wow. I know Lee, and that does sound like something she would say.
Yeah, absolutely. She's
a very kind woman.
This the nicest.
Though Spitzer will be eligible for parole in 20 years, Perez noted that there is no guarantee of release. Quote, "This is up to you and your willingness to engage in treatment. Should you not, you are a risk to society, and life is warranted."
Boy, oh boy.
Wow.
I spoke with Shoshone County Sheriff Captain Jeff Lee. He was one of the people that Spitzer shot at.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, he thinks this right sentencing came down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he genuinely, you know, as somebody who got shot at by this guy, right. He genuinely like thought that he felt sorry for what he did.
Yeah.
He was there when the sentence came down.
Well, and it sounds like he was deemed
mentally incompetent,
but then it said
like got him in the right mindset again.
His competency was deemed restored, so right, almost like he was able to maybe go to therapy, maybe get some treatment.
I don't know. Yeah,
that's what it sounds like to me. And
so at first you're like he's on something. Maybe it was he was off something.
Either off something or just mental illness. Yeah, whatever wasn't,
could be. Yeah, who knows?
I mean, how old is he? Because a lot of times, 30, that's when major mental illness like schizophrenia, mm-hmm. bipolar, that's when a lot of times that really comes into play. And again,
It's no excuse. Like, he did what he did,
No excuse. No, but that's very true. But mental health.
Very much so. Yeah. And we've already talked about before how Idaho kind of lacks in that regard.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit. All right. We're not going to read this story, but we do want to bring up that the minor statue by Terry Lee.
The fit minor.
It is the cut minor.
I'll calm myself down here.
Yeah, did you see the photos of this statue?
I did. This is a cut miner.
Yeah, he's a hunky blue collar working man statue kind of thing going on. So, in all seriousness, it is a very tasteful statue. It looks awesome. It goes with the rest of the theme of the pioneers downtown.
Well, it's not. Guys, it's tasteful.
It's not vulgar. No, like we're not, making it out no. to make it sound like really this is risque. We're just making jokes. No, it's definitely very fitting with the rest of the statues that are downtown. I honestly, in my opinion, kind of long overdue.
Yeah, it is.
Mining was the name of the game for a long time up here, so it definitely needed to be added to the Pioneers, series of statues up there. So,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Makes a lot of
sense. Go downtown Coeur d'Alene and check it out.
Check out that miner.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to now jump into our interview today, musical guest interview. Ben Vogel coming on the show to talk about a new album release and an event that they're going to be releasing it at. So, let's jump on over to that. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. We always love having musical talent on the show, featuring some local artists and getting the name out there. So, appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your stories and some of your music with us.
Right on.
Cool. So, Ben, let's start with the basics. Let's get the people to get to know you a little bit. Where are you from?
So, born and raised Spokane, Washington.
Oh, I think I know where that is.
Yeah, so not too far away.
Right.
And then I left right after I graduated high school, and I went to school in California, went to school in Texas, lived in Chicago for a little bit, and then about exactly 2 years ago, because we're coming up on the end of August, I ended up back in Coeur d'Alene.
Wow. Okay. Gotcha. So you bounced around a little bit. Throughout all that time, were you playing music?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what took me all those places, actually. I ended up, I didn't even really want to go to college when I was coming out of high school. But I got talked into it, and I decided, you know what, I love music, I want to do music, so I'm going to study music. And I ended up going to school in California and then getting my master's in music composition at the University of Texas in Austin.
Wow, okay.
And that's where I kind of became a professional musician in earnest. I was playing down on 6th Street in Austin, which is like kind of one of the big entertainment districts downtown. And, you know, I was playing every night for a while, and I kind of realized, yeah, this is what I want to do with my life.
Gotcha. Okay, so that kind of transitions into your music career. How did your style, like what would you describe your style of music as?
You know, I always kind of struggle to describe my style a little bit just because it pulls from a lot of different things. I would say ultimately, at the end of the day, it's kind of like old school pop rock. Like, it's always kind of a minefield comparing yourself to the most popular artists of all time, arguably, but there is just a Beatles thread kind of running through what I do.
Okay.
You know, I was familiar with, you know, half their discography before I could speak.
So wow. Just,
you know.
Okay. So if you had to say you take inspiration from anybody, it's the Beatles?
Yeah. And specifically like Paul McCartney and stuff, but like, a lot of that, and then along the way, you know, that's kind of where it started, but along the way, like, I played a lot of jazz through high school and college. I got deep into the classical music thing. I played blues for years, and I was gigging in Austin. When I lived in Chicago, I played bass in an R&B band. So all this stuff kind of comes together, and, you know, so usually I just end up saying like pop rock or singer songwriter, but it's that doesn't really, I guess, capture like the full scope of it.
Sure. No. Okay. That makes total sense though. Kind of hard to define in a sense. Do what instruments do you play?
Well, so like when I'm playing live, mainly I'm a guitar player. I play guitar and sing, but actually this is one of the things I was going to talk about on this record I got coming out. I'm playing everything.
Everything.
Bass, drums, piano, singing all the vocals.
Wow. Wow. One of those one-man band kind of things.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do that because, like, there's a lot of records I dig, like Paul McCartney's McCartney or, like, Todd Rundgren's Hermit of Mink Hollow, or, like, there's a handful of Stevie Wonder songs where it's just one guy playing, but you'd never know from listening to it because it's so layered and it's got such a good feel. So that was kind of a, I don't know, it kind of ended up being a goal of mine, especially when like live music shut down in 2020. Basically, I like blew all my money on recording equipment when we moved here and was like, I'm going to set up a home studio and I'm going to learn how to play the drums.
And then it happened.
I recorded all these tracks, just by myself. And,
wow. Okay. That's impressive. I mean, that's taken the initiative. I think every industry was affected during the pandemic, especially those of the arts. And it's difficult, you know, when especially a live musician such as yourself, I've seen you play, it can be tough when you don't necessarily have that feedback from the audience kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was definitely weird. I mean, I didn't feel right for a long time because you get used to doing something just all the time, you know, and then, like, I didn't play gigs for, I don't know, 6 months.
Right.
And so I just decided, like, you know, maybe I spent, like, the first 2 weeks of that kind of sitting on my couch watching bad reality TV and drinking beer.
Sure.
And after that, it was like, I gotta do something.
Well, who didn't do that during at least 2020? Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it all brings me to like where I am today and how the way my music career is going is I wanted to be able to do this stuff without, this is going to make me sound a little bit, I don't play well with others, but I wanted to be able to do this stuff without having to rely on other people.
Sure. I think anybody can respect that.
For sure. And I dig working with other people, like particularly, and this is something I definitely wanted to make sure I shouted out, is like, this music scene in North Idaho, like I've gotten to work with a lot of different people and befriend a lot of great songwriters, and it's definitely like made me better. And I certainly couldn't do all the stuff I've done without that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like playing drums behind Sam McHugh last year really helped me get good at the drums.
Sure.
Because
shout out to Sam McHugh, who's already come onto the show. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I kind of like, as live music opened back up, I kind of took all those experiences and sort of, you know, just tried to learn as much as I could from all of it.
Right. That makes total sense. So yeah, speaking of, you mentioned, you know, the music scene here in North Idaho. What's your, you know, growing up kind of in the area, what have you noticed differently from maybe, you know, even 10, 15 years ago?
Well, you know, I actually didn't really know much about what was out here 10, 15 years ago when I was like in high school.
Sure.
You know, because I didn't really like, I got into like kind of singing my own songs a little late, and I was like, wasn't really going to see music out here because I was, you know, 17, you can't get into bars. So
right.
I knew nothing about the scene when I moved here.
Okay.
We actually kind of just moved here because we were tired of living in Chicago and we wanted to just relocate and kind of, you know, figure out our next move. And the funny thing is, actually, the like first night I spent in the house we rented when we came here, I found the Mad Bomber open mic like on a Google search and just kind of went like knowing nothing about it. And then I heard a bunch of great songwriters, you know, like Sam Lighty was there, Jeremiah Banks, Millard Sun was there, Jake Rozier was there, and then I ended up at one of those speakeasy things the McHughes used to throw, like, the next night, and then, like, by the end of my first week here, I had, like, 20 new friends, and they were all killer musicians.
Okay, all right, so it sounds like there's a healthy music community up here right now.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Gotcha. Between artists and good venues too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, I think there's more of that than there used to be around here.
Sure.
And it just feels like it's growing too. Like, you know, like I always, it's fun to always like kind of meet new people, see new venues popping up, you know, be scrolling through Facebook and kind of be like, someone's playing music at a place I've never heard of. Oh, I better go check that out.
Yes.
So it feels like it's really on the upswing, which it's cool to be living here right now.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's got to be a reason why people keep moving here. So,
Yeah.
Makes total sense. Well, okay. So you talked about moving back up here for Coeur d'Alene. When was that?
So that was, about 2 years ago. It was like right at the end of August 2020.
Oh, okay. So heat of pandemic kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like we were already tired of living in Chicago, and no knock on Chicago, it's a great place. I'm just not a city person at the end of the day.
Sure.
And so we got in the car, basically went west on I-90 and was like, we're just going to figure out a place to live because my wife works remotely and I was, for all intents and purposes, unemployed at the time.
Right. That makes sense.
That's how we ended up here.
Perfect. Okay, well, let's fast forward a little bit to now. You've got a new album coming out, is that right?
Yeah, I do. It's coming out on Friday, August 26th, and the album is called Revealed. I'm going to have it on CD. It's going to be on all the major platforms like Spotify and Apple and Amazon and some other ones, but those are the ones everyone I know uses.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about the album. What was some inspiration for it? What's a song or two that stands out to you?
So, yeah, the album, I think the inspiration of it in a very broad sense is kind of like, I'm going to turn 29 at the beginning of next year. And so I'm kind of getting into like my late 20s. And so all of these, I think it's like a lot of the songs are kind of like the first songs I wrote feeling like I was a real adult dealing with real adult stuff.
Right.
So I think, I guess the inspiration is just kind of like writing songs both about myself and then like also songs about kind of like observing other people out in the world. I think just about kind of, there's a lot of, like, maybe not explicitly, but implicitly, this album's a lot about, like, growing up, I guess.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, we all have some growing up to do, so.
Yeah. I don't think I'm quite done yet for that.
Hey, it's not, you don't want to grow up too much. That could be a problem.
Yeah. Well, we're in no danger of that.
No, I think you and I are pretty good on that front. Perfect. Well, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, you asked kind of like if there's a song that stands out. Yeah. I guess the title track is called Revealed, and it's this song I wrote. I actually wrote it back in it's like the oldest song on the record, I guess. I wrote it back in like April of 2020 or whatever, because everyone was kind of just feeling trapped in their apartments and stuff, and I kind of end up writing this short story about a gal who's trying to kind of leave a relationship, like trying to get out, trying to break free. And, I don't want to spoil the ending, but basically, she leaves, she steps outside with her suitcase and she kind of just walks around and ultimately just ends up back on her doorstep. It's like, I was getting into like some, songwriters like Ben Folds and stuff who like write songs kind of like these songs that are like short stories about characters they just made up to kind of like illuminate a feeling that they themselves might be having, and then also like musically I'm pretty proud of like where that song went. It's like I was wanting to write a song that was like a waltz in like 3/4 time.
Okay.
And so I kind of tried that on for size and like put it to the short story, and it all just came together.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I definitely need to, I haven't listened to it yet, but, obviously I don't get sneak peeks. We've got, but you said it'll be out on everything, right?
Oh yeah. And I'll send you the private link too.
Ooh, perfect. All right. I'm going to get a little behind the scenes. Love that. Cool. So I've been told that you have an event for this coming up.
Yeah, I do. It's going to be the same day the album comes out, the evening of Friday, August 26th. And it's going to be my friend Bailey Allen Baker's been putting on this concert series at Junior's Mexican restaurant, like down on Lake Coeur d'Alene Drive.
Okay.
They've got a, out, they've got like a big backyard and a really, really cool outdoor stage. Like honestly, one of the coolest stages in Coeur d'Alene, in my opinion.
Sure.
And so it's called the So Be It Then Concert Series, and my band is headlining it the night of the 26th. So I decided to kind of also roll it in as the album release. So we're gonna have the album for sale. We're gonna have T-shirts, and there's gonna be three bands on the bill. We're headlining, and then Jake Rozier and The Implication are playing before us. And then the opener is a really new and really cool band around here called The Young Band.
Okay. Very cool. So, Ben, if people wanted to hear your music, to learn more about you, how would they go about doing that?
I would say probably the best places are, I've got benvogelmusic.com. And then on Facebook and Instagram, which I update pretty frequently, and you know, anything I'm doing, shows or music that's coming out, Facebook and Instagram, my handle on both is at Ben Vogel Music.
Okay.
Between those places, I'm pretty good about making sure everything's current up there.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, Ben, is there anything else you want to throw in there?
I don't think so. I think I pretty much
think we covered the bases. Yeah.
Yeah, and all I just want to say is, you know, too many people to name, but shout out to all my music friends out here in North Idaho, and Chance, thanks so much for having me on this podcast.
Absolutely.
And, if you're out there listening, I hope you pick up the record. I hope to see you at the show on the 26th.
Awesome. Ben, thanks again for coming on, and I've got some music to listen to.
Right on. Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hecla Mining Company is a leading low-cost silver producer with operating silver mines in Alaska, Idaho, and Mexico, and is a growing gold producer with operating mines in Quebec, Canada, and Nevada. They are the largest primary silver producer in the U.S., responsible for one-third of the silver produced in our nation. Their philosophy is to operate mines safely by promoting a deeply rooted value-based culture, leveraging mining skills built over the company's long history, and by innovating new practices. To learn more about Hecla Mining Company, please visit heclamining.com. Speaking of, I believe that Phil Baker, the CEO, was down at the statue unveiling.
Oh.
Hecla had a lot to do with the statue.
Nice.
And,
okay.
and threw in some money
makes
for
sense.
It.
Makes so. Sense. Good. Yeah, absolutely. Excellent.
All right, Molly. Jumping into Shoshone News Press headlines.
Okay. This is about the Bruce Fest that Chance and I went to.
Yes.
Headline, straight from my brain.
Yep.
This Chance helped me a little bit.
Mm.
Tapping in on the fun. Good job, Molly.
Nice work, Molly.
Silver Mountain celebrated 25 years of one of their biggest events this past weekend at Brews Fest 2022. The Northwest has become a haven for craft beer and cider lovers, and Silver Mountain has used that to its advantage. Quote, "This year we had a limited number of tickets that we sold," Silver Mountain marketing manager Gus Colburn told the news press. All 1,200 tickets were sold out the morning of the event.
Mm.
The event took place in an incredible... One ticket to the event included a round-trip gondola ride, event access, a 2022 5-ounce mug, which is super cute, mm-hmm. and six tasting tickets.
I really like the photo that you had with that.
I like it. Yeah, it looked.
I don't know if it made the print edition, but it,
yeah,
I definitely.
I'm not sure, but
I definitely thought that was kind of cool how they had them all stacked up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The event took place in an incredible setting, accessed by the scenic 3-mile gondola ride to the top of Silver Mountain, overlooking the vast valley below. As the gates opened around noon, the thirsty beer and cider fans filed in, trying their first drink and enjoying the musical stylings of the first live band, Whack-A-Mole. Quote, "In total, 24 vendors were pouring 2 drinks," Colburn said, "so we had a total of 48 drinks for everyone to try out." Among the 24 beverage vendors were Silver Valley favorites like Radio Brewing Company and Wallace Brewing Company. Regional breweries included the likes of Mad Bomber Brewing Company, Laughing Dog, Edge Brewing Company, Elysian Brewing, One Tree Cider, and many more. Eventgoers had the opportunity to pick up stickers, sunglasses, magnets, and other free swag from different booths. Those looking to satiate their appetite could do so at the delectable food trucks, Happy Burger, which makes specialty smash burgers, and Taco Works Prairie, serving tacos, burritos, and more.
I had the tacos.
I had the taco salad. It was good. It was really good.
Yes, I remember.
Merchandise for the event was designed and provided by the Wallace-based Traveling Tees, with all the merch sporting a 90s theme that hit this millennial's heart in a special place. I am wearing the hat that I bought today.
Love it.
As the crowd grew, more people began setting up their blankets and lawn chairs to listen to the headline musical act, Justin Priest and the Joyful Noise, a 7-piece band from Spokane. Colburn said that one of the new additions to the event was having volunteers, made up of parents involved in the Kellogg School District wrestling and track programs, pour drinks at all of the vendor booths. Quote, "We will be donating to those programs that provided those volunteers for us. Part of the proceeds of the event, as well as the tips, will be donated." For more information on events at Silver Mountain, visit www.silvermt.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we were both up there, and it was fun.
It was a good time.
A good time.
I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Lighting storms keep fire crews. Just kidding.
Lighting storms.
Who said that, Molly? Molly caught a great typo that you guys wouldn't know about it because it got caught. Because
it
by
got
Molly.
Caught before it went to print.
But yes, lighting definitely storms. An early typo would have made
another
this
round of lighting storms.
Very, very funny.
Yes.
This is by apparently somebody named Chancy Romancy.
Romancy. I don't know who that is.
I wonder who put this story into the copy. I wonder who wrote this copy.
Who did this?
Another round of lightning storms that recently pushed through the inland northwest were responsible for several wildfires kicking up across the local area. In Shoshone County, Idaho Department of Lands Cataldo Fire Warden Chris Myers tells the news press that fire crews identified 4 separate fires in its district on Sunday following the Friday weather. With a 2-day gap between ignition and discovery, Myers says it's not uncommon for wildfires to gather strength and slowly increase in size. Quote, "That storm was fairly wet," he said. "It'll cool things off, slow it down a little bit, and make it hard for the fire to spread into other fuels. But if it has enough where it's at, it'll sit there and smolder indefinitely until it either goes out or starts burning like it did Sunday. Some fires can sit there for weeks sometimes and not make enough smoke to be seen." The first burn that a crew dealt with was the Wardner Fire, which was quickly contained to 1/10 of an acre. As IDL was mopping up near Wardner, reports came in on what is now called the Mod Ridge Fire. Located 1/2 acre east of Pinehurst, IDL crews had some difficulty responding to this blaze due to its rural location, lack of visibility, and lack of road access to the area. Working in conjunction with the United States Forest Service personnel and aerial units, containment was achieved late Sunday night. Roughly an hour after the discovery of the Mod Ridge Fire, smoke from what is now called the Frost Peak Fire was visible in a rural area south of Pinehurst. Quote, "We hit that one hard with aircraft yesterday," Myers said. "We had 4 single-engine air tankers and a large air tanker dump some retardant on top of a heavy helicopter scooping water out of Mirror Lake. Due to its lack of accessibility, no ground units were initially sent to attack the fire, but smoke jumpers were able to respond Monday morning. As of Monday afternoon, the fire had been contained to approximately 1 acre. While air units were in the process of attacking the Frost Peak Fire, they spotted the last blaze of the day, the Christie Draw Fire near Latour Creek in Cataldo. IDL units were quick on scene and were able to contain the damage to 0.2 acres. According to Idaho Panhandle National Forest Public Information Officer Carrie Maddox, the Coeur d'Alene River Ranger District has had 11 confirmed wildfires this year. The largest fire to date was 3.65 acres, and 7 of the remaining fires were contained at 1/10 of an acre or less. Quote, "Detection flights and district personnel will continue to work to locate smoke reports, she said in a news release. In the southern reaches of Shoshone County and the St. Joe Ranger District, there have been 15 confirmed wildfires, with 7 of them currently uncontained. Several of those fires have hand lines in place, and containment is expected soon. Outside of Shoshone County and the Sandpoint, Priest Lake, and Bowners Ferry Ranger Districts, there have been 15 confirmed wildfires. The only uncontained fires that are in are the 391-acre Diamond Watch Fire on the Priest Lake Ranger District and the quarter-acre Aeneas Peak Fire on the Bonners Ferry Ranger District. Quote, "Due to location, access barriers, and terrain of both fires, conditions are too hazardous for direct suppression tactics," Maddox said. "Indirect suppression will be accomplished using a combination of hand crews, heavy equipment, and other resources as they are needed and available." Well, it could be worse.
It definitely could
be worse. We have had worse fire seasons, so the fact that we've only got one large one at the moment is probably a
right.
good thing.
The fact that we were able to go up to Bruise Fest and not be miserable,
not
is
be smoked out,
excellent.
Yeah, not great.
Mm-hmm.
Home of the lowest prices in all things outdoor since 1975, Black Sheep Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, hunting, and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. Be sure to also check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping on orders over $100. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. Takes into Bonner County Daily Bee headlines for Saturday, August 13th.
Man faces assault and burglary charges. A Bonner County man is facing a host of charges that he assaulted a man attempting to serve him paperwork on a previous contempt of court charge. Daryl William Thorne, 38, was charged August 1st with felony assault, two counts of felony burglary, felony robbery, and felony destruction of evidence, and misdemeanor malicious injury to property. According to court documents, an employee of Spokane Investigative Services attempted to serve Thorne in late July with paperwork, requiring that he attended a contempt hearing in Snohomish County, Washington. According to the probable cause affidavit, as the server spoke to a woman at the door of the home and asked for Thorne's whereabouts, the man allegedly, quote, came barreling out of a porta potty at him. Okay. That is terrifying. That is, allegedly, though. Okay. Allegedly, he came barreling out of a porta potty.
In theory, that is very terrifying.
In theory, allegedly, that is terrifying. The alleged victim then said he told Thorne he only had paperwork for him and that there, quote, there was no need to be aggressive.
What is happening right now?
According to the documents.
Mm-hmm. What is allegedly happening
what
right now?
What is allegedly going on? Seeing Thorne didn't... Oh, my gosh. Seeing Thorne did not slow his approach, the victim decided to run for his car.
Understandable.
Yeah, which he had left running. Good. He made it to the driver's seat, but so did Thorne, the man said in the affidavit. Thorne then allegedly punched the victim in the face several times, stole his dash cam recorder as well as his phone, which was sitting in his breast pocket recording the interaction. Oh, Thorne then kicked him in the ribs and left with the phone and dash cam. The man said he spoke with Thorne in an effort to get his property back. Thorne's mother brought the alleged victim a towel and cold water as they discussed what had happened.
What is happening?
What is happening?
This isn't real.
Thorne refused to return the alleged victim's phone unless he deleted... All right. Thorne refused to return the alleged victim's phone unless he deleted the video of his attempt to serve the paperwork. If it's not on video, it didn't happen. The man eventually complied with Thorne and deleted the video, he said to deputies. Mm. Thorne then destroyed the memory card from the dash cam, which had been positioned to record the victim serving papers at the residence. Thorne denied ever taking the phone and dash cam, and claimed he had only gotten aggressive because a stranger was recording his wife at the door and was on his private property. Thorne admitted to a scuffle between himself and the victim.
He's really leaning into it. He's literally saying that this didn't happen.
Yeah, well... Well, there's no video now, allegedly.
Yeah, never happened.
When deputies arrived, Thorne saw them from the front door and went inside, prompting concerns he would barricade himself inside. However, according to court documents, after some appeals by deputies, Thorne left the residence and was taken into custody without issue. Yeah,
that's good.
As he was being transported by Deputy Kevin Schultz, a different employee from Investigative Services set the earlier paperwork from the victim on Thorne's lap and notified him he had been... and notified him he had been served while they were at a stop sign.
Did he throw on some sunglasses real slow after he did it?
Served.
Like, just...
You've been served. God. Thorne's preliminary hearing is August 24th at the Bonner County Courthouse.
Boy, if you're looking for some true crime slash comedy...
Wow,
I bet this preliminary hearing is going to be kind of comical, so...
goodness gracious
might
sakes,
be some entertainment
might
there.
Have a little bit of entertainment.
I ran at him from a porta potty.
From a porta potty. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Right, no, there's no video of it, so...
There's no video, so...
Never happened.
Never happened.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Moving on, Sunday, August 14th headlines, Sandemonium. making it official. This is by Beau White Eagle. With a much bigger picture in mind, Sandemonium is returning to the Sandpoint Library for another fandom-based event. Since 2015, Sandemonium has provided an all-exclusive time and space for fans of anime, science fiction, fantasy, and esports to celebrate their fandom. The event brings together like-minded individuals in the local community and features cosplay contests, fan-specific meetups, panels, and more. However, Sandemonium, as a board member Cassandra Korzak, said the group now has something bigger in mind. Registering as a nonprofit organization federally. Quote, achieving our 501c3 status is the next big step to allowing our small convention events to level up, said Korzak. It's been a goal of Sandemonium to register as a nonprofit for years. The board has decided to make it a priority this year. Partnering with the East Bonner County Library District and held at the Sandpoint Library, the first event was created to celebrate the teen reading program. From there, the event grew to be larger, requiring larger venues such as the Forrest M. Byrd Charter High School. However, that growth was halted due to COVID-19 pandemic. Quarantine restrictions in 2020 forced organizers to forgo the physical event and evolve, holding a virtual event via Zoom. Sandemonium's growth was further challenged due to a complete hiatus in 2021 because of limited venue space and restrictions on large gatherings. This year, however, the event not only made a comeback but returned to its roots, being held at the Sandpoint Library for the first time since 2015, now with the return event, dubbed Sandemonium Light, being a success, the board now has a second event with a greater purpose in mind. The fundraiser is set to be held on August 20th and is aimed at raising monies for the cost of being a federally registered nonprofit organization. Featuring face painting, a tabletop gaming tournament, and a nerdy bake sale.
Okay.
Korzak said the event will check another long-time goal off the organization's list. The 501c3 status comes with a number of perks, including tax benefits such as exemption from state income, sales, employment taxes, and more. But Korzak said the board hopes the status change will allow for much more. Quote, we hope it would also encourage more sponsorship opportunities as donations could then benefit donors as a tax write-off. On top of all the outstanding benefits, having the nonprofit status also better represents our intent as an organization. All board members participate on a complete volunteer basis out of love for the community, Korzak said. In addition to the tax benefits, the 501c3 status will have the benefits of allowing the organization to apply for grants that would help fund a larger Sandemonium event. Korzak said this status could also come with the possibility of partnering with larger conventions.
Love to hear it.
I think that we might need to make an appearance at Sandemonium.
I think we should.
Are we dressing up too?
Obviously. I can't go to a Comic Con without dressing
right.
up.
I'll pull on my Riker costume.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. I'll pull through my mini
all of them.
Costumes.
Yeah.
All right, moving into Tuesday. Lions Roar Fire Contained.
What a great name for a fire.
Lions Roar. This is by Carolyn Lobsinger. The Lions Roar Fire near Priest Lake is completely contained and controlled, returned to the local Idaho Department of Lands District. Quote, however, the public can expect to see occasional smoke from the fire area, as internal heavy fuels will continue to smolder, IDL officials said in a press release Monday. Excess firefighting resources on the Lions Roar Fire were released for assignment to other fires or any potential new fires in the area. Backhauling of equipment will continue as crews continue to mop up spot fires and command transfers back to the Priest Lake IDL Fire District. The news follows a very successful day on the fire Saturday, despite wire lines being tested by afternoon winds which hit the area. Infrared mapping was used Saturday to locate and detect areas of heat, helping crews bring containment over weekend from 75% to 100%. Meanwhile, on the Diamond Watch fire in nearby Ponderay County, Washington, crews continue to work to hold and contain the fire. Now mapped at 391 acres, the fire caused by a lightning strike July 14th. U.S. Forest Service officials said the fire, which is burning on a ridge to the east of Diamond Peak, about 5.5 miles due west of Nordman, can be seen from the Priest Lake area in Idaho. Containment of the fire is listed at 0%. Quote, recent growth was mapped with an infrared flight, with most of the heat is showing on the south slope of the ridge. Due to the terrain, U.S. Forest Service officials said direct suppression of the fire is neither a safe nor effective option. An indirect suppression strategy is being implemented to confine and contain the fire, using natural and man-made features that contributed to the greatest probability of success. Crews and heavy equipment are working to construct a fire line in the area. Crews have been successful in utilizing heavy machinery to remove excess fuel in the FSR 308 area. However, officials said the fire is backing toward the roadway, which is being used as a containment line, and line construction is occurring at the head of Diamond Creek, and firefighters are also utilizing natural barriers such as ridges and creeks. Forest Service officials said crews are working to keep the fire from crossing FSR 657 and have placed a sprinkler system on the northern edges of the fire, which is working to keep the fire out of the adjacent timber units.
Okay.
Fire is backing towards FSR 308, which is being utilized as a containment line. This fire activity, along with the use of heavy equipment, has prompted the closure of the area as firefighters continue suppression work on the fire.
So those are interventional firefighters.
They are intervening.
Okay.
I don't want
I don't want non-interventional firefighters.
I'm not intervening in that fire. Well, what?
It's almost like they're not firefighters if they're not intervening. All right. Last story in today's Bonner County Daily Bee. Critters, kids, and a fair amount of fun. This is by Carolyn Lobsinger. Lots of details on the upcoming Bonner County Fair in this story. Go check it out. We're not going to go through the whole thing. It's a fair.
It's a fair.
It's a fair. You know it's going to be fun.
Uh-huh.
So between the North Idaho Fair in Kootenai County and the Bonner County Fair going on up north,
uh-huh.
Boy, there's a lot of fair fun to be had.
A lot of fair fun.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Molly, long episode today.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy is just about exactly how I feel. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Good
well,
stuff. Okay.
Good stuff.
Well, once
good
again, stuff. We'd like to thank the America's Gold and Silver for sponsoring this episode. To learn more about any open positions at the Galena Mine, including their maintenance supervisor position, visit www.americas-gold.com/career. Molly.
Right. My goodness.
That's it. We're done for the day. Everybody, don't forget to enter for the contest.
Please.
Enter for the contest.
Friday.
Win some tickets.
Podcast. You can win some tickets to the All-American Reject.
All right. I love it.
The tickets will not go to Chance and I.
They
We're
will not,
not
go
it.
To me
Unfortunately,
and Molly.
Unfortunately, I ask, but right. apparently that's not cool.
Yeah, that's nepotism.
Rigging the
yeah.
competition.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, fine.
Doesn't sound fair to me, but whatever.
Does not sound fair to me. You know, we're the one doing all the work. Just kidding.
Pretty good. All right, everybody. Thanks again. We'll see you on Friday when we're going to announce the big ticket giveaway
yes.
winner.
Woo!
All right, everybody.
Can't wait.
See you later.
Of all the different things I've tried, nothing comforts my soul like a love.